This Week in Palestine, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for December 22nd through December 28th, 2007. Palestinian and Israeli leaders meet this week while the Israeli army kills 12 Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. Let's begin our weekly report with the nonviolent actions in Bethlehem and Ramallah this week. At least 500 Palestinians, joined by a number of international solidarity activists and some Israelis, attended a conference in Bethlehem on Friday organized by the Palestinian National Initiative to support the popular nonviolent resistance against the wall and Israeli occupation. Dr. Mustafa Barghouti, Secretary General of the Initiative and member of the Palestinian Legislative Council, spoke to the conference about the need to adopt nonviolent popular resistance as a national strategy to end the Israeli occupation. Luisa Morgantini, Vice President of the European Parliament from Italy, said that popular resistance in Palestine is not new, adding that she has been involved in nonviolent activities in Palestine for the past 20 years.
We want to say to the world that this wall is a monster, that it should fall. That's why we are here today. We are here to say occupation should end.
A number of speakers from various parts of the West Bank spoke about their nonviolent struggle in their respective villages and towns. During the conference, the Nonviolence Network in Arab Countries was introduced by a speech by one of its steering committee members. The conference was concluded with a nonviolent march from the location of the conference at the International Center of Bethlehem to the wall near Rachel's tomb at the northern entrance to Bethlehem. In a separate event, a number of Palestinian villagers, along with some international and Israeli activists, protested against the construction of the wall on the land of Salamona in southern Bethlehem. Israeli troops assaulted the nonviolent protesters with tear gas and sound bombs. Eyewitnesses reported that two protesters were slightly wounded. On Friday at midday, Palestinians from the village of Bel Ain near Ramallah in the central West Bank, along with their international and Israeli supporters, conducted their weekly protest against the Israeli annexation wall. Shortly after the midday Friday prayers, the protesters marched toward the location of the illegal wall built on the village land. The Israeli army installed a barbed wire roadblock to try and prevent the protesters from reaching the construction site. As soon as the demonstration reached the roadblock, troops showered the protesters with tear gas and metal rubber-coated bullets, injuring 6 people. During a meeting on Thursday at the Israeli Prime Minister's West Jerusalem residence, Olmert told Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas that Israel would suspend any building of settlements on occupied Palestinian lands, including in East Jerusalem. With the details, here is IMEMC's Louisa White.
The meeting on Thursday was the first between the two leaders since both sides started the stalled peace talks in the US-sponsored Annapolis conference on November the 27th. Palestinian and Israeli negotiators have so far failed to advance the talks despite 2 rounds of negotiations since the Annapolis summit was launched. Palestinians are upset over the planned construction of 370 housing units in the Har Homa settlement, or what Palestinians call the Jabal Abu Ghanim, in occupied East Jerusalem. Speaking to the IMEMC, Michael Warshansky, an Israeli political analyst, doubted Israel's willingness to halt settlement activities.
The expansion of settlement has never stopped since 1969. At any stage, even during the Oslo process, during what many people call the good old days of Yitzhak Rabin, Har Homa settlement, which was built during the peace process, or the so-called peace process. So there was no intention from the Israeli government, any government, to stop or to freeze settlements.
According to the US-backed Roadmap Peace Plan of 2003, Israel is obliged to halt all settlement activities on occupied Palestinian lands, including Jerusalem. However, settlement activities have gone on unabated, with 440,000 settlers remaining in the West Bank and East Jerusalem settlements. Such settlements cost the Israeli government about $556 million each year. Also this week, Cairo voiced concerns over the Israeli actions, calling them a threat to peacemaking. These concerns were voiced during a meeting in Egypt between Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak and Israeli Defense Minister Ehud Barak. Barak discussed with his host a variety of issues, including Egypt's crackdown on smugglers at the Gaza-Egypt borderline, calling on Cairo to exert greater efforts. Egyptian officials were reportedly responding to Israeli Foreign Minister Tzipi Livni's related statement by stating, instead of addressing such an issue, the Israeli Foreign Minister should instead advance peace with the Palestinians. She should not talk about things she does not understand. Israel has been accusing Cairo of not doing enough about the smuggling of weapons into Gaza through underground tunnels on the Egypt-Gaza borderline. On the eve of the Mubarak-Barak meeting, the Egyptian authority seized a ton of explosive materials and arrested one suspect. Palestinian sources reported that the said meeting had made a breakthrough with respect to the issue of captured Israeli soldier Gilad Shalit, who was abducted by Hamas and other groups in the Hamas-run Gaza Strip last June. Israel agreed to releasing 200 Palestinian prisoners in swap of Shalit, yet groups holding Shalit denied any knowledge, Man News published. Cairo has been mediating a possible swap deal over the past 9 months. At the internal level, Acting Speaker of Palestinian Parliament in Gaza, Ahmed Bahar of Hamas, called on Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas to name a new Prime Minister to form a coalition government. Former Palestinian Information Minister Mustafa Barghouti believed this week that holding an early election could be a way out of the current Palestinian political turmoil following Hamas's takeover of Gaza. Currently, there are two Palestinian cabinets, one headed by deposed Prime Minister of Hamas, Ismail Haniyeh, in the Gaza Strip, and the other headed by the Abbas-appointed Salam Fayyad in the West Bank. Hamas has recently accused Fayyad's government of contributing to the current Gaza siege by, Hamas says, excluding Gaza from December the 17th's Paris Economic Conference, which pledged a total of $7 billion to Abbas's Palestinian Authority. For IAMEMC.org, this is Louisa White.
This week, the Israeli army conducted at least 24 military invasions into Palestinian communities in the West Bank. During those invasions, the Israeli troops kidnapped 87 Palestinian civilians. IMEMC's Manar Jibrin with the details.
Among those kidnapped by the Israeli army this week were two children, a member of the Palestinian Legislative Council, two members of the Municipal Council of Nablus, and three university professors. Thus, the number of Palestinians kidnapped by the Israeli army in the West Bank since the beginning of this year has mounted to 2,640. Just hours after the Palestinian chief negotiator Ahmed Quraya and the Palestinian president Mahmoud Abbas met with Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert in Jerusalem, their envoy was attacked by Israeli forces invading the central West Bank city of Ramallah. Mu'tasim Sharif al-Mahdi, a member of the Palestinian Presidential Guard and a top-ranking security official, was killed by the Israeli gunfire near Ramallah. Israeli sources claim that al-Mahdi was carrying a licensed handgun, which was why Israeli soldiers mistook him for a fighter. But Palestinian eyewitness report that the soldiers gunned down al-Mahdi in cold blood. The Israeli army invaded the village of Sorif, located near the southern West Bank city of Hebron, midday on Thursday, and clashed with local schoolboys. Local sources said that several military jeeps stormed the village and started to provoke the boys as they were leaving their school. Soldiers detained some of the children and beat them up. Witnesses said that in response to the soldiers' actions, the children threw stones and empty glass bottles at the invading troops. The soldiers in turn opened fire using live rounds and tear gas. Medical sources reported no injuries. Soldiers left the village shortly after. On Tuesday, an Israeli soldier shot and wounded a Palestinian youth in the West Bank village of Nahalin, Palestinian media sources reported. Local medical sources confirmed that Salah Najajre, 18, sustained moderate wounds after being hit with an Israeli bullet. Witnesses said that Najajre was walking along with some villagers along the nearby Israeli settlement of Bitar when Israeli soldiers opened fire from a hilltop. Witnesses added that no clashes were taking place in the area and the Israeli army opened fire abruptly and randomly. In Jerusalem this week, the Israeli army demolished a Palestinian house in Wadi al-Jouz neighborhood in East Jerusalem. And on Tuesday, a number of Israeli settlers attacked and injured a Palestinian farmer in Tel village, southwest of Nablus. For IMEMC.org, this is Manar Jibrin.
The Israeli army continues to beleaguer the Gaza Strip. Army attacks this week left 11 Palestinians killed in the coastal region. From Gaza, IMEMC's Rami Al-Mughari with the details.
Palestinian medical sources reported that one Palestinian fighter was killed and five others were injured when Israeli jet fighters fired missiles at a group of resistance men in Khaza'a town in the southern part of the Gaza Strip on a Friday at dawn. Sources from the Al-Qassam Brigade, the armed wing of the Hamas movement, said that the resistance fighter killed was one of their fighters. Seven Palestinian resistance fighters were killed on Thursday evening in three different Israeli army attacks. Among them was Muhammad Abdullah, 41, a high leader in the Islamic Jihad armed wing Al-Quds Brigade. A Palestinian resistance fighter died late Wednesday night when a tunnel collapsed on him in the city of Rafah in the southern part of the coastal region. In a statement faxed to the press, the Al-Qassam Brigade, the armed wing of Hamas, said that the fighter was a member of the brigade and identified him as Muhammad Dahir, who was 24 years old. The brigade said he and his comrades were digging a tunnel used to fight the Israeli army during the continuous Israeli invasions into the area. On Monday, Dr. Muawiyah Abu Hassani, the chief of the emergency department at the Palestinian Health Ministry, announced that the Israeli authorities allowed the passage of 19 patients to hospitals outside Gaza. In a statement faxed to the press, Hassani maintained that those allowed to pass are expected to receive medication at Israeli and West Bank hospitals, but there were 7 people denied permission to leave the coastal region. The health official confirmed that so far 49 patients have died because they were denied passage outside of Gaza for treatment. The Israeli army has imposed a crippling closure in the Gaza Strip since June, and in September, Gaza was declared a hostile entity. In October, a series of punitive measures were imposed upon Gaza's 1.4 million strong population. This has led to human rights groups like the Physicians for the Human Rights to file a petition to the Israeli High Court of Justice demanding ease on the restrictions of patients' movement. The court has not yet responded. On Monday, Israeli warplanes launched an airstrike in central Gaza Strip, leaving 2 people dead. Palestinian medical sources announced that Atallah Al-Awadi and Jum'a Abu Jair were admitted to the Shuhada Al-Aqsa Hospital in central Gaza Strip as dismembered corpses and that their bodies had numerous burns. Witnesses said that at dawn on Monday, an Israeli warplane fired at least 1 missile on the Palestinian residence and Abu Rej refugee camp. For IMEMC.org, this is Rami Al-Mighari in Gaza.
On Monday, December 24th, the Palestinians in the southern West Bank city of Bethlehem started the Christmas celebration for this year. IMEMC's Caroline Jones was there.
The normally quiet Manger Square in Bethlehem comes alive on this day with people from all over the world joining in the Christmas celebrations. Under cloudless blue skies and brilliant sunshine, the bells of Nativity Church rang out to greet the endless procession of scout troops who marched around the square playing drums and bagpipes. Representing Palestinians from all over the West Bank and also areas in Israel, they entertained the crowds of Palestinians and internationals along with the world press. Glitter and confetti rained over the procession, adding to the magical and joyous atmosphere of the festivities. Palestinian wishes for the day included wishes for the reunification of Gaza and the West Bank. Mustafa Al-Baghouti talked to IMEMC.
To feel the happiness of this holy day, we have to gain back our national unity and to continue our struggles to end the injustice and this apartheid racist regime and the Israeli occupation.
The city of Bethlehem lies surrounded with Israeli settlements and the wall, another reason for the residents of Bethlehem to celebrate Christmas with a hope for the future. Ishak Zarup, a resident of Bethlehem, talked about the settlements.
If the Israelis continue their settlement activities, for sure for us as Palestinians will continue to demand our state. The political situation will not be stable. I do not think that there is any Palestinians that do not wish for freedom and to celebrate those holy days with joy.
As a call to prayer rang out from the mosque over the square, the security forces cleared the way for Michel Saba, the patriarch of the Catholic Church in Jerusalem. He was welcomed by both the mayor of Bethlehem and the governor of the Bethlehem district, after which he held midday mass. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas and other Palestinian officials came to the city to give support and their best wishes for the special occasion. An American tourist who chose to withhold her name talked about her visit to Bethlehem.
I'm from America, and in America, when you read the tour books before you come over here, they tell you not to come to Bethlehem. So my family was concerned for me because I was coming to Bethlehem for Christmas. But once I got here, I feel very safe. It's wonderful. And the parade, we saw the parade with the Boy Scouts. It's nice to see everybody get together to celebrate the birth of Jesus.
In the late afternoon, the concerts began. A variety of local and international singers, bands and orchestras performed for a mixed audience of Palestinians and internationals. From beginning to end, the entire Manger Square was full of people. The night proved a success as crowds gathered around the stage for the entirety of the performances. At 11 on Monday night, the outdoor festivities finished as the celebrations moved towards the church nativity to start the midnight mass. For IMEMC.org, this is Caroline Jones in Bethlehem.
And that's just some of the news this week in Palestine. For constant updates, check out our website, imemc.org. Thanks for joining us from Occupied Bethlehem. This is Rafael Anderson and Ghassan Banoura.